Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel files an amicus brief before the United States Supreme Court on behalf of thousands of churches with respect to the First Amendment. That is a critical case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this case. Matt, this case is called Reed versus Town of Gilbert, and it is a First Amendment challenge from Good News Community Church, which was denied the right to advertise its church like other businesses or political candidates. And now this case is before the U.S. Supreme Court. Liberty Counsel filed the brief not only on behalf of Liberty Counsel, but also on behalf of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and CONELA. That is a merged organization now representing the United States, over 40,000 churches in America, and worldwide, over 500,000 churches. So that case is going to be decided by the end of the Supreme Court's term next year.
Well, what's the nutshell in this case, Matt? The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals basically ruled that a church doesn't have the right to the same access to advertise as businesses and so forth?
Yeah, it's regarding a sign ordinance. And the town of Gilbert, which is outside of Phoenix, Arizona, they basically ultimately said that this particular church sign, because of its content, its message, did not fit their sign ordinance, and therefore said that it was impermissible. Now, however, other businesses are able to have signs, and political candidates are able to have signs in the yards regarding their particular message. But this particular ordinance in Gilbert, Arizona, town of Gilbert, ultimately was used to stop the church from giving information to people on its sign. What we've seen around the country are various kinds of things. I know we had a case up in Pennsylvania that I argued at the Federal Court of Appeals for what's called the Third Circuit, and we won in a 3-0 decision. And it was Peachlum, Mrs. Peachlum, and she had a sign that she put out in her yard with a peach, and it talked about peachy news, and it had a sign underneath it, had like a scroll, Jesus is Lord. And that's what she had on that sign. And they harassed her for years. They fined her for years. They allowed other people to have signs in their area. We came along. We ultimately pushed back. We filed a lawsuit. And in that suit, we ultimately won the case because they were saying that certain signs were not allowed, and that this message would not be allowed. Political signs were allowed, for sale signs were allowed, other kinds of symbols or signs were allowed, except for this one because of its religious content.
Now, Matt, in deciding this case, Reed v. Town of Gilbert, the Ninth Circuit based its opinion on the their opinion that the town of Gilbert, outside of Phoenix, did not have a, quote, illicit motive or a desire, quote, to suppress certain ideas when it discriminated against this church, when it placed tighter restrictions on church signs than on business signs or political signs. I have a couple questions here. A, how could they possibly know whether or not there was an illicit motive? People can certainly come up with a pretext for doing something that is on its face unconstitutional. How can they know that? A, and B, when did an illicit motive or the intention to suppress certain ideas, when was that ever, you know, the main deciding factor? Yes, there can be no viewpoint discrimination, but that's not what hinges on whether or not you can constitutionally discriminate against somebody and violate the First Amendment, does it?
No, in fact, that's one of the major issues before the United States Supreme Court. This Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision said that the signed ordinance is okay, passes constitutional scrutiny because they could find no illicit motive or a desire to specifically restrict churches or religious messages. Well, the problem with that is if you're looking at a motive, then people who know that could simply create an ordinance, a law, that has a negative impact on religious speech or churches in particular, in this case, and hide their motive. They
yeah,
might
pretext.
Have a motive, but they just create something and they're very subtle and they hide their motive. Since when do you need to look into the mind of somebody to determine whether their motive makes something constitutional? It's the result that matters. It's not how you intended the result. It's the actual result that matters. Is this discriminating against churches or religious messages in its result? I don't care whether you thought it was good or thought it was bad. Because if motive makes the difference, that means that a bad motive could ultimately result in a law that on its face and in effect is okay, making it unconstitutional. So the law itself would be bad. And in fact, we've seen this before in the Ten Commandments cases. And I think the Supreme Court has to review those as well. In some of the Ten Commandments cases, what the court ultimately came up with is it depends upon the motive. Mm-hmm. So across the street, you could have a Ten Commandments display, and there is no motive expressed because they didn't say anything, so you don't know what the motive was. Or their motive was, we just want to educate about history. And the Ten Commandments is part of history. And that one's okay. Across the street from that, an identical Ten Commandments display would be there. But somebody, when they decided to put it up, said in a public meeting, we want the Ten Commandments up because we need to turn back to God. We want to be able to remind everyone that our rights come from God. The exact same display. You're driving down the road to the left, to the right. It's exactly the same. One's constitutional, one's not constitutional. That makes absolutely no sense.
Makes no sense at all. And effectively, what we see here is the Ninth Circuit saying, oh, no, you could even allow a heckler's veto. The heckler's veto, of course, basically says, well, the motive for the city might be to disallow free speech because opponents of the message of that free speech might get upset and might be offended and might make a bunch of noise and disturb the peace. So they say, in order to prevent that from happening, we're going to shut down this free speech. Well, the motive may be one of, you know what, we actually kind of agree with the message, but we want to keep the peace. We don't want any disruption. We don't want to offend anybody. So even though we agree, we're going to shut down the speech. Well, the Supreme Court has said, no, that's a heckler's veto. That's impermissible. That's unconstitutional. I think this case kind of applies in that way. It doesn't matter what the motive is here. The end result is an unconstitutional discrimination against this church.
Yes, and so our brief is arguing that the Ninth Circuit ought to be reversed and that this church ought to be able to have the right to be able to put up its sign, just like other businesses or political candidates. What we also see here is that in addition to making these arguments, we represent a large constituency. The constituency we represent is NHCLC/Canela, which is National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. NHCLC has 40,118 evangelical Hispanic churches in the United States. It's the fastest growing segment of our population. And now NHCLC has merged with the Latin America and other Canadian churches through Canela. And Canela has more than 487,000 churches. And of course, those now combined is more than 500,000 evangelical Hispanic churches worldwide and continuing to grow. So that's the organization we represent. Obviously, the 40,000-plus churches in America have a vested interest in being able to put a sign out in their front yard about their churches, about their services, to put a sign out in the yard regarding Roe versus Wade and abortion whenever that comes up annually in January. This is a critical case. And so we are filing a brief in this case to overturn the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. And help support this ministry with your financial contributions at that website, lc.org. You can also order a number of our resources at Liberty Counsel's website. We have our complete Patriots Handbook series, the Patriots Handbook of American Liberty, which has the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, a great index. Most of these little pocket-sized constitutions do not have the index, and this one is a very helpful one that does. We also have one on the public schools, rights of students in the public schools, Israel, the right to bear arms, and political activity of pastors and churches, and much more. We also have other resources there on the website as well. Sign up for our Grassroots Action email at libertycouncil.com. That's libertycouncil.com. There you can not only sign up, but be involved in critical issues nationally that affect your family, faith, and freedom. Again, that website is libertycouncil.com, and any of our websites, libertycouncil.com or lc.org. You can find more information about Liberty Council and support Liberty Council with your contributions and financial support.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.